Welcome to The Onion on Sun Sounds of Arizona, Arizona's reading station. My name is Frank Sheelan, and it'll be my pleasure to be your volunteer radio reader for the next half hour. The Onion is a parody of news and commentary, and contains material that some people will find offensive. Listener discretion is advised. The top story today: Trump unable to focus in meeting as pressure of booking Kennedy Center summer jazz series looms. Dateline Washington. Amid efforts to prove himself as an effective chair of the performing arts organization, President Donald Trump was reportedly unable to focus in a national security meeting Friday, distracted by the pressure of booking the Kennedy Center's upcoming summer jazz series. According to sources, the sound of his cabinet members' voices was essentially white noise to the otherwise preoccupied commander-in-chief, who was struggling to decide whether free jazz, hot jazz, or jazz fusion would have made a better theme for the month of July. The president was said to have buried his face in his hands as he realized the enormity of the responsibility that came with putting on original, educational, and fun musical programming, and he responded to a half-heard question from Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth with, "Scabbity-doo-bop. I mean, yes, send the bombs." At press time, reports confirmed Trump had accidentally deployed Herbie Hancock to the border. Next, political profile, Kristi Noem. Kristi Noem has vowed to use her power as Secretary of Homeland Security to crack down on immigration. Here is everything you need to know about the Trump cabinet member's background. Ethnicity, Real Housewife. Religion, Cabela's Fundamentalist. Homeland Security experience, has Ring camera. Dream job, host of an HGTV show about making over the border wall. Who Trump thinks she is, Sarah Palin. Hair, 100% horse grade. Hardest part of job, sharing an office with Pete Hegseth. Personal motto, God, family, get out of this country. Favorite dog trick? Be dead. Next, FTC.gov redirects users to Latvian sports gambling site. Next, concerned bartender takes away Pete Hegseth's security clearance. Dateline Arlington, Virginia. Expressing unease with his customer's obvious level of inebriation, local bartender Benny Waller confirmed Friday that he had been forced to take away Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth's security clearance. "Look, buddy, you're in no condition to be getting behind a desk at the Defense Department right now." The proprietor of the local dive bar, The Anchor, reportedly told a stumbling, belligerent Hegseth while reaching into the cabinet member's pocket, pulling out his security credentials, and placing them in a locked box behind the counter. "It would be safer for everyone if you go home and sober up before accessing any national security secrets or entering restricted areas of the Pentagon. I'm sorry, but in your current state, it would be irresponsible for me to let you operate a department with an $850 billion budget and a nuclear arsenal." At press time, witnesses confirmed Hegseth had staggered out of the establishment while shouting that he would be back with some buddies the next night to declare war on the whole bar. Next, Trump struggling to remember how he related to Elon Musk. Dateline Washington. Trying to figure out if he had a third brother he forgot about or if Don Jr. had just lost some weight, President Donald Trump was reportedly struggling Friday to remember how he was related to Elon Musk. "I know that if he's this high up in my organization, this Elon guy must be related to me somehow, but I don't remember him being Fred or Robert's kid, so maybe he was Marla's brother or something," said Trump, musing that he must at least be a cousin or nephew of some kind, since he's just as much of a weirdo freak as his other kids. He's ugly enough to be Eric's son, but that's for sure. I don't know if he's dumb enough. Maybe his family changed their name from Trump to Musk at Ellis Island. He's got that weird way of talking like Melania, but I don't think I'd let someone who doesn't have the Trump blood rise that high. I assume he's some kid from some affair I had, and in that case, I should make sure he's been written out of my will. At press time, Trump was reportedly growing frustrated with Musk's constant questions and wishing he could act more like his favorite son, Pete Hegseth. Next, Mitch McConnell vows to continue falling downstairs in face of fascist takeover. Dateline Washington. Rebuking President Trump's decision to pardon January 6 rioters, Senator Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, staunchly vowed this week to continue falling downstairs in the face of an apparent fascist takeover. I can no longer physically stand upright for a party that excuses a violent insurrection that targeted our Capitol, the 82-year-old lawmaker said as he slid down a row of steps outside the Senate chamber. There are certain principles I refuse to compromise on, and I will make that known by tumbling down flight after flight of these hallowed steps. Rest assured, I will not stop until every last bone of my body is broken and I can no longer feed myself or recognize my surroundings. Suffering internal bleeding is my duty and my promise to the good people of Kentucky. So here I go again, America. At press time, McConnell confirmed that intermittently losing consciousness, not violent rioting, was the only form of legitimate political discourse he recognized. Next, Trump announces U.S. will relocate Panama Canal to American soil. Dateline Washington. Claiming that the waterway will now be called the America Canal, President Donald Trump announced Thursday that the Panama Canal would be relocated to U.S. soil. Our beautiful system of channels and locks is finally coming home, folks, said Trump in a Truth Social post before signing an executive order directing American personnel to airlift the 50-mile-long artificial waterway connecting the Pacific Ocean and Caribbean Sea to its new location in Austin, Texas. China can say bye-bye to their influence over the canal once it's placed squarely within America's borders. The simple action of transferring 1 billion gallons of water over to the United States will create more jobs than ever before. You're welcome. At press time, Trump officials drafted plans to relocate Canada and Greenland to America's heartland as well. Next, jealous Trump boys try to convince father that Barron, a DEI, Dateline Washington, whining that they were being discriminated against even though they were the bestest sons ever in the whole wide world, the Trump boys attempted Thursday to convince their father that Barron was getting unfair advantages because he was a DEI. Daddy, Barron is ruining our lives because he's different, said a pouting Donald Jr., who sobbed while describing how their little brother received preferential treatment even though he couldn't do cartwheels, play basketball, or make fart noises as good as they could. If we don't do something soon, it'll be nothing but Barron Trumps around here. We think it's time to fire him from the family forever and then send him back to wherever REIs come from. At press time, the Trump boys had put on baseball helmets and aprons and rushed into Barron's room to deport him to Guacamole Bay. Next, Doge by the numbers. Elon Musk, the leader of Doge, claims the organization's sweeping cuts have already saved the government $55 billion. The Onion examines the key facts and figures behind the Department of Government Efficiency. 20,000 free lunch sandwiches confiscated from school children's mouths mid-bite. 17 cancer research breakthroughs successfully averted. 45 minutes per meeting spent looking at videos on Elon Musk's phone. 83 FAA employees left between you and a Boeing 747 crashing into your house. 10% group discount on department fake ID order. 13,000 federal employees laid off via meme. 500 nut taps distributed. 253 number of scorned public servants currently writing manifestos. 8. Times Elon Musk has tried to explain why the agency name is funny to Trump. Next, in other news, Dalai Lama revises claim life only suffering when not listening to Golden Era Supertramp. Dateline, Dharamshala, India. The Dalai Lama announced in a press conference Monday that he has revised his position that suffering is an inevitable fact of life and that he now believes life is only suffering when one is not listening to Golden Era Supertramp. I was recently lent a remastered version of Breakfast in America, and it went down so damn smooth that it completely shifted my stance on pain and the human condition, said His Holiness, admitting that the proclamation upends the conceptual grounding of Buddhism's Four Noble Truths. Humanity can free itself from pain by throwing on Goodbye Stranger and cranking that shit up until you feel like you're floating. Also, attachment to desire is totally okay if what you desire is the intricate musical arrangements and artful melody of Britain's best prog rock band. The real path to nirvana is through the deep cuts on disc 2 of Retrospectacle, a Supertramp anthology. The Dalai Lama went on to condemn the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for its hateful anti-Supertramp stance and encouraged his followers to sign a petition supporting the band's induction. Next, Joann Fabrics announces plans to make mishmash store out of shuttered location scraps. Next, tips for embracing single life. Despite stereotypes that unpartnered people are lonely or unhappy, being single doesn't have to be a burden. The Onion shares tips for embracing single life. Take yourself on a date. There's no reason you can't have fun being visibly, utterly alone in public. Delight in the bacchanal of carnival pleasures that is the Omaha hookup scene. Pretend you've been stood up at restaurants to get loads of free bread. Realize that your ex was actually holding you back from things you really value, like not cleaning, not cooking, and not bathing. Develop a non-romantic identity like dog mom or incoherent wino. Most suicide hotline operators will listen to you talk about your day if you pepper in some threats. Explore new interests to immediately abandon at the first sign of a relationship. Use the solitude to reflect on you and just how you managed to fuck up this badly. Tell everyone your family was brutally murdered so you seem less pathetic. Next, new evidence suggests humans develop written language to avoid breaking up in person. Dateline Chicago. Noting that early humans' aversion to confrontation played a critical role in their evolution, a new study published Friday in the American Journal of Archaeology concluded that written language was first developed to avoid breaking up in person. According to our findings, early Mesopotamians created the first cuneiform tablets in 3200 BCE because they couldn't bear the idea of looking their partner in the eye and ending things face to face, said the study's author, Professor Jason Green, who added that once humans learned how effective a breakup note transcribed on papyrus, clay, or animal skin could be, they began developing a variety of symbols to quickly and effectively call a relationship off. Some of the earliest pictographs, like a broken heart, a withered rose, or crossed-out stick figures standing side by side, were seemingly quite effective for avoiding an in-person argument. But based on our evidence, our ancestors eventually developed a phonetic alphabet to convey more complex ideas, like that it might be best for them to open their relationship or to take a short break and try seeing other people. Green added that early humans also developed hunting spears as a way to avoid going through the trouble of divorce. Next, anti-aging millionaire announces he has put in purple contact lenses, Dateline Los Angeles. Boasting that he had made the most dramatic change to his appearance yet, anti-aging millionaire Brian Johnson revealed Wednesday that he had put in purple contact lenses. "Today, I stand before you a new, younger man who also has violet eyes," said the 47-year-old business magnate, who added that on top of his intensive daily regimen of light therapy, blood transfusions, and 91 custom supplements, he and his team of longevity specialists had now covered his eyes with colored lenses he purchased online. "Although my natural blue eyes didn't necessarily age me, my new purple eyes give me an air of otherworldly mystery. And this is only the beginning. Soon, I'll have some cat-eye contacts for both myself and my son to wear when he gives me his blood." At press time, a shirtless Johnson could be heard screaming in pain as his bloodshot eyes rejected the contacts and immediately aged him 20 years. Next, humanitarian organizations arrive in Philadelphia to feed city's hungover residents. Dateline Philadelphia. Bravely responding to a citywide crisis, humanitarian organizations from across the globe arrived in Philadelphia early Monday to feed the city's hungover residents. "We cannot, in good conscience, allow these people to stay this hungover without stepping in to feed them the greasy starches they so desperately need," said a volunteer from the United Nations who distributed Gatorade, Pedialyte, and brown paper bags translucent with French fry oil to a crowd of several dozen residents struggling to open their eyes or calm their sour stomachs. "Our main concern is the ones who can't lift their throbbing heads enough to soak up the booze on their own. We've covered them in blankets until they can find their vomit-covered shirts, but it's still too soon to tell whether they'll be able to keep the Advil down. Luckily, Doctors Without Borders is here to administer Bloody Marys to those urgently requiring some hair of the dog." At press time, the American Red Cross tent had reportedly begun screening the fourth season of Frasier so affected residents could pass out on their cots to something familiar. Next, dad spends daughter's wedding day thinking about history of oil. Dateline Mount Clemens, Michigan. With guests congratulating him and his family as his mind drifted back from the very beginnings of ancient organic matter becoming trapped beneath the earth's surface, local dad Brendan Canfield reportedly spent his daughter Ellie's wedding Friday thinking about the history of oil. According to sources, the father walked the bride down the aisle while considering the ingenuity of men like Abraham Gesner, who harnessed the natural power of oil as kerosene, and pondering the rush for energy dense hydrocarbons that led to the explosive growth of cities like Los Angeles. Witnesses also reported that when his daughter and her betrothed exchanged vows, a tear welled up in Canfield's eye, a result of contemplating the incredible human ingenuity that led to plastics, cosmetics, and all the other goods that fueled the greatest economic boom in human history. At press time, a smile was seen growing upon dad's face as he shook the hand of his daughter's new husband and remembered that his name was Derek. Next, exhausted friends slowly realized they were playing board game wrong the entire 6 hours. Dateline Milwaukee. Growing more despondent as each turn brought them no closer to a conclusion, an exhausted group of friends was reportedly coming to the realization Friday they had been playing the board game Wingspan incorrectly for the past 6 hours. "Wait, were we supposed to have set up these goal tiles earlier?" said Elliot Barnes, 31, grabbing the expansive rule book to confirm his dawning suspicions that he and the other players had misunderstood fundamental playing mechanics of the game. "Oh, Okay, it looks like we were all supposed to discard some food tokens at the beginning, which we totally skipped over. And apparently, we should be placing the bird cards in the correct habitat. And now that I look back closely, I'm pretty sure a lot of these are game pieces from Stratego that got put away in the wrong box. God damn it. I knew we should have just stuck to Clue. At press time, sources confirmed the group of friends was 2 hours into playing the correct version of the game, which they all agreed was significantly less fun. And now it is time for Onion Sports. Numerous teams express interest in Aaron Rodgers playing elsewhere. Dateline, New York. Leaping at the opportunity to make their intentions clear, numerous NFL front offices expressed interest this week in quarterback Aaron Rodgers playing elsewhere, sources confirmed Tuesday. Aaron Rodgers feels like he could be a great fit for the culture of other places, said an anonymous NFC general manager among the flurry of teams across the NFL frantically stating their commitment to keep Rodgers off their roster. We immediately reached out to his agent to improve our chances of keeping Aaron Rodgers as far away as possible from our franchise. This puts us in a much better position than many of the other teams in the league who now risk acquiring the former Jets quarterback because they waited too long to make an insultingly low salary offer or mock his weird beliefs and idiotic conspiracy theories. At press time, several NFL teams reportedly entered the bidding war, offering high draft picks to any franchise willing to suffer Aaron Rodgers. Next, Jerry Jones signs 15-year, $500 million life extension, Dateline, Arlington, Texas. In a milestone deal in which the Dallas Cowboys owner renewed his commitment to this mortal coil for the foreseeable future, Jerry Jones announced Wednesday that he had signed a 15-year, $500 million life extension. I'm over the moon to have reached a compromise that'll let me stay amongst the living through 2040, the 82-year-old said of the blockbuster half-billion-dollar contract, which extends his life almost to the century mark. I've always been an enormous fan of existence. Reality is a tremendous place. Sentience, breathing, experiencing things, they're all uniquely part of life. Ever since I started here decades ago, I've understood there's nowhere like this, especially when you compare it with what they're doing over in the cosmic void of nothingness, stretching on forever in eternal silence and endless dark. No, thank you. I want to keep living or leaving my mark here for as long as I can. Jones added that based on how this deal progressed, he was also open to an additional deal extending his place in the world indefinitely. Next, Jalen Carter flees scene in parade float, Dateline, Philadelphia. Looking dead-eyed into the distance as it slowly dawned on him what he had done, a visibly distraught Jalen Carter reportedly fled the Eagles' Super Bowl celebration Friday after commandeering a parade float. "Oh, God damn it, move, move," said the panicked 23-year-old defensive tackle, who frantically slammed his foot on the vehicle's gas pedal and drove the green trailer filled with players, cheerleaders, and a dancing Eagles mascot down the highway at its maximum speed of 15 miles per hour. "Okay, Jalen, calm down. They can't link you to anything. Plus, everyone is way too focused on your Super Bowl win. There's no way I'm going down today over my dead body." At press time, Carter could be heard using a megaphone to call his lawyer as the parade's police float attempted to pull him over. Next, Philadelphia enjoys quiet week of Super Bowl victory reflection. Dateline, Philadelphia. With a hush falling over the city as millions chose to stay indoors and focus on taking deep, slow breaths, Philadelphia residents have been enjoying a quiet week of Super Bowl victory reflection, serene sources confirmed Tuesday. A state of placidity reportedly washed over Eagles fans following the 40-22 win over the Kansas City Chiefs, with the football team's most diehard supporters choosing to stay in a contemplative half lotus pose for hours at a time, basking in the quiet contentedness of knowing the team did the best it could do and succeeded because of it. According to sources, the city's streets were deserted, with the exception of a single Philadelphia fan standing in the park gazing up solemnly at the gnarled branches of a 250-year-old oak tree. At press time, the Philadelphia Eagles confirmed there would be no parade due to the ultimate indistinguishability of victory and failure. And now it is time for American Voices. Trump claims Ukraine started the war. President Trump appeared to blame Ukraine's leaders for the three-year war with Russia, arguing Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky should have never started it. What do you think? Jacob Bogardus, Salad Visionary. Oh, like you understand geopolitics so perfectly. Brad Lyons, Bandnamer. You mean the special military operation? Melody Greenberg, Rebate Coordinator. It's not the president's job to understand world affairs. That concludes another edition of The Onion on Sun Sounds of Arizona, Arizona's reading station. My name is Frank Sheelan. It's been my pleasure to be your volunteer radio reader for the last half hour. And until next time, be well.